The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on krishnapath.org. The Laws of Nature, Chapter 1, Part 2, Breaking the Bonds of Karma. In conditioned life, we are committing sins at every step, even without knowing it. The reason we are sinning unknowingly is that we have been in ignorance from our very birth. This ignorance is prominent despite so many educational institutions. Why? Because, despite so many big universities, none of them is teaching Atmatattva, the science of the soul. Therefore, people remain in ignorance, and they continue to sin and suffer the reactions. That is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.3. Parabhavastavad abhodha jato yavan, na jigna sata atmatattvam. This foolishness will continue until one comes to the platform of understanding self-realization. Otherwise, all these universities and institutions for imparting knowledge are a continuation of that same ignorance and foolishness. Unless one comes to the point of asking, quote, what am I? What is God? What is this world? What is my relationship with God in this world? End quote. And finds proper answers, one continues to be foolish like an animal and is subjected to transmigration from one body to another in different species of life. This is the result of ignorance. So, the modern civilization is very risky. One may feel comfortable and it's as a successful businessman or politician, or one may think oneself comfortable because of being born in a rich nation like America, but these statuses of life are temporary. They will have to change, and we do not know what kind of miseries we will have to suffer in our next life because of our sinful activities. So if one does not begin cultivating transcendental knowledge, then one's life is very risky. Suppose a healthy man is living in a contaminated place. Is his life not at risk? He may become infected by disease at every moment, any moment. Therefore, we should work to dissipate our ignorance through cultivation of transcendental knowledge. A good example of how we commit sins unknowingly is cooking. In the Bhagavad Gita 3.13, Krishna says that his devotees are freed from sin because they eat only the remnants of food that has been offered to him. But, he says, those who cook for themselves eat only sin. The difference between cooking here in this temple and cooking in some ordinary house is that our cooking and eating are relieving us from sin, while the cooking and eating of a non-devotee are simply entangling him more and more in sin. The cooking appears to be the same, but this cooking and that cooking are different. Here there is no sin, because the food is being cooked for Krishna. Anything you do outside the field of Krishna conscious activities entangles you in the modes of nature. Generally, you are being implicated in sinful activities. Those who are a little more cautious avoid sinful activities and perform pious activities, but one who performs pious activities is also entangled. If a man is pious, he has to take birth in a family that is very rich or aristocratic, or he may be very beautiful or get the opportunity to become very learned. These are results of pious activities, but whether you are pious or impious, you have to enter into the womb of some mother, and that tribulation is very severe. That we have forgotten. Whether you take birth in a very rich or aristocratic family or from an animal womb, the pangs of birth, old age, disease, and death continue. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give you an opportunity to solve these four problems: birth, old age, disease, and death. But if you continue to act sinfully and eat sinfully, then these miseries will continue. Otherwise, you can nullify your sinful activities by surrendering to Krishna, as he states in the Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Quote, just give up all your so-called religious practices and surrender unto me. I shall protect you from all your sinful reactions. End quote. Part of surrendering to Krishna is being careful not to eat anything that has not been offered to him. That should be our determination. Even if we have committed some sin by eating prasadam, food offered to Krishna, we will counteract it. If we surrender to Krishna in this way, he will protect us from sinful reactions. That is his promise. And where does a surrendered devotee go at the time of death? Is he finished, as the voidists say? No. Krishna says, mam eti, quote, he comes to me, end quote. And what is the benefit of going there? Mamupetya punarjanma dukalaya mashashvatam napnu vanti, quote, one who comes back to me does not have to return to this miserable material world, end quote. That is the highest perfection. The Upanishad states, quote, the killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance, end quote. Krishna is like is a lion to the demons and a lamb to the devotees. The atheists say, quote, we have not seen Krishna, end quote. Yes, you will see Krishna. You will see him as the lion of death when he ultimately comes to capture you. Quote, ow, end quote. The atheist sees Krishna as death. And the theist or devotee sees Krishna as his lover, as gentle as a lamb. Actually, everyone is engaged in Krishna's service, either out of love or by force. One who is entangled in material life is engaged in Krishna's service because he is forced to serve Krishna's external material energy. It is just like what we see with the citizens of the state. Whether one is a law-abiding citizen or a criminal, one is subservient to the state. The criminal may say he doesn't care for the state, but then the police will force him to accept the authority of the state by putting him in prison. Therefore, whether one accepts or rejects Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy that every living entity is eternally the servant of Krishna, one remains his servant. The only difference is that the atheist is forced to accept Krishna as his master, and the devotee is voluntarily offering him service. This Krishna consciousness movement is teaching people that they are eternal servants of God and should voluntarily offer him service. Quote, don't falsely claim that you are God. Oh, you don't have to care for God? You have to care, end quote. The great demon Hiranyakashipu also did not care for God, and so God came and killed him. God is seen by the atheist as death, but by the theist as lovers. That is the difference. If you're a devotee and understand this philosophy of spiritual life, you can live for a moment or you can live for 100 years. It doesn't matter. Otherwise, what is the use of living? Some trees live for 500 or 5,000 years, but what is the use of such a life devoid of higher consciousness? If you know that you are Krishna's servants and that everything belongs to Krishna, you can live for hundreds of years doing your duties and there will be no karmic reaction. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9. Yagnar tat karmano nyatra loka karma lokayam karma bandana. Quote, accept work for Krishna, any work, whether good or bad, will bind you to this material world, end quote. If you do good work, you will have so-called enjoyment in your next life, but you will still remain bound up in the cycle of birth and death. And if you do bad work, then you will have to suffer the sinful reactions and also remain bound up in birth and death. But if you work for Krishna, there are no such reactions, good or bad, and at the time of death, you will return to Krishna. This is the only way to break the bonds of karma.